This is a podcast for nice guys. How do you want to be remembered? Someone who sacrificed everything, or a man who got what he wanted while positively influencing others along the way? Join us to learn how to lead from the bedroom to the boardroom from the only international coach for nice guys, your host, Ashley Cox.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a podcast for nice guys. Today, we have Dom Fawcett. Dom is a radio show host, executive coach, and author. He has spent over two decades on the front lines of leadership. Dom is a military veteran and prior police officer with 10 plus years of corporate leadership experience. An international speaker, Dom Fawcett covers topics such as leadership confidence, effective communication for focused teams, and harnessing the power of diversity through rapport. Dom is the CEO of Think, React, Lead. Think, React, Lead is a company dedicated to pushing people past their limiting beliefs by bridging the gap between their mind and heart for increased success. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the invite. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm not just saying that.
I'm so excited. This is going to be epic. Okay.
Let's do it.
So on Instagram, you made a post that was describing an incident that you had with a dealership in regards to your wife. So the way the dealership treated your wife and how you intervened. I'm going to read a little bit about what you said, and I'd love for you to speak more about that incident and also how you became the man that stood up for your wife and stood in the gap between her and injustice.
Sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
Okay. So your wife texted you and said, "I love you so much for what you did. You command presence to me to a better car," laughing emoji. And you were like, "Ain't nobody gonna piss my wife off." And she said, "I was sweating. I was so bad." And your caption said, "My wife ordered a car a month ago, and this morning the dealership texted her saying, 'We accidentally sold your car to another customer. We will refund your money.' My wife called me in the middle of a meeting, heated, and not regular heated, Latina heated, and there's a difference." And all I said was, "I'll get it handled." Hopped on my Harley and pulled up to the dealership, ready to command presence, calm, solutions oriented, stern, and located the person in charge and said, "This needs to be rectified in the same manner. This was your wife or your mother. Do you think that's possible?" I made it personal so he could relate. I ended with a question he had to answer, and this put the ball in his court, and I never told him how to do it or raised my voice. I didn't show my frustration. Mm-hmm. An hour later, with a little Fawcett encouragement, we had a solution. My wife is getting a better car for the same price. I didn't have to apologize for my behavior because I remained a gentleman and stayed composed. Before I left, the man in charge asked if I would treat my wife to a steak dinner on his dime. And the person in charge asked if I could talk to the man who messed up. And number four to you, you said was the best part. This man in charge trusted me to speak with his employee. Was I pissed? Nope. I was upset that the person's lack of attention to detail negatively impacted my wife's day. Now it was for me to fix. And I like this. Fellas, before you emotionally run to your woman's rescue, think about a resolution and proceed void of emotion. That became a very popular post. First of all, that's the kind of man every woman wants. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, that's the kind of man every man wants to be. Cool. And so it really stood out to me because the purpose of a podcast for nice guys is to teach men the tools for how to stand in the gap between the world and women and children. There are many things that can happen. And ultimately, if the man is hiding, if he's afraid of rejection, he won't do what's necessary to protect the woman and child. So I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit more about that day. In your own words.
So my wife and I don't argue. I don't curse. I don't curse at my wife. I've never called her out of her name. I've never had a reason to get mad at her to bring that insecurity out of me to do that. One, if somebody else did it, I would want to knock them out, right? So why would I not want somebody else to do it and then I would do it myself? And this is for the gentlemen that do curse at their wives. Or even curse around their wife, like it's just disrespectful. I learned years ago to be comfortable with my violence. I struggled for a long time when I got out of the military and out of law enforcement, trying to prove to people that I was nice. And then one guy, he's a Marine Raider, MARSOC, and I met him at a conference and he's like, "Dude, just be comfortable with your violence." And I had never heard it that way from a man who was statistically more violent than me or had more violent experiences. My violent experiences held in comparison to his. So as a man, in my experience, there's two types of men. There's men that go many, many years trying to prove that they're nice because they've done some things in the past that weren't that nice. And then there's the guys that don't want to be nice and they're trying to prove to people that they're tough. And I've learned less is best. The less I say, the likelihood of me having to apologize is slim to none. And I hate apologizing. So I don't do stuff that I have to apologize for. Specific to this day, my wife contacts me on the phone and she's very busy. I'm very busy. It's our phone call. We call each other twice a day. Hey, just want to hear your voice. How you doing? End of story, done. She calls me and says, did you get my text? Now, she never talks at me. She was talking to me, but I heard the frustration in her voice. And I said, no. And I looked at it as I was walking across the street from one office building to my other office building. And I was like, wow. I happened to have my Harley keys in my pocket. I just went back to the parking garage, hopped on my bike, and I thought through the situation as it's a 30-minute ride to the other side of town. How would I rectify this? And I knew what the optics looked like. I'm wearing cowboy boots. I got jeans. I got a flannel on, and I pull up to the front of the dealership with a Harley. There's not really more that I have to say, like, once that happens. There's just a look, right? And I'm not a big guy, but I come across large. And when I walked in, I just asked the individual where is, and I inserted name, and he knew I wasn't there to like do anything fluffy. He said, let me get him for you. Like, I don't want to deal with you. You look pissed off. And the moment the guy walked up to me, I didn't exchange pleasantries. All I said was, this needs to be rectified. And his response was, I don't think there's anything that we can do. So I closed the gap between the two of us. I put my left hand on his right shoulder and I looked him in his eyes and I quietly said, I need you to take care of this the way that you would take care of this if this was your wife or your mother. Is that doable? And he said, yes. Long story short, he took care of the situation. A lot of men, and you mentioned something during kind of the intro, you said this isn't about you. You didn't make this about you. I didn't make it about me. I made it about a situation. I promised my wife I would get it handled. Emotions don't get anything handled. I needed a A to B, B to C. I needed a process. Process was effective communication, right? Engaging command presence. I didn't have to say a lot. I didn't have to yell. I didn't even curse. And men don't like being told what to do. So I didn't tell him what to do. I asked him if it was something that was possible. And I don't ask a lot of open-ended questions. This was a yes or a no. He's in customer service. He doesn't want to say no. So he's forced to say yes. And long story short, we did get it done. And at the end of the day, I knew that I still have a brand. This might be a dealership that I get paid to speak to. And I have a very large social media presence. So it doesn't take much to look me up. And I talked to him the way that I would talk to him if we were on stage. Like if I was on stage and with 1,000 people watching, what kind of conversation would I have? And would that match who Dom Fawcett is today? Would that match my brand? And like I said, it all worked out.
How did your wife respond?
A lot of sex. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. But she was her knight in shining armor. She responded with, when she walked into the dealership, I had already set the stage on what was happening, how we were going to be treated as a couple. And when she walked in, and she's known in the car industry because of the position that she holds at another dealership. So when she walked in, it was Miss Fawcett this, Miss Fawcett that, we will take care of you. And all she had to do was say thank you. And then she looked at me. She gave me kind of like the batty eyes, like, oh, this is my man. He did all the things. Hercules. Like, she was very proud of the moment. So, of course, in that moment, that was about me. I was proud. I'm like, you're darn right I did it.
I love that. So there are two things I want to pull out for the listeners that you said that I think are really key. If someone is trying to figure out, how do I make this transition? And what's the difference between what he just did and me paying for this girl's bills that I just met because I really like her and she's struggling and whatever. Like, I see a lot of guys who go above and beyond. They love this white knight thing. And the two key things there There's nothing wrong with the man showing up for a woman. There's nothing wrong with him providing. There's nothing wrong with him protecting. The two things that you did that made it healthy. One, actually three. One is that you didn't make it about you, right? So this wasn't about you proving something to everybody in the situation. This wasn't about you trying to win her love, trying to make these guys respect you and do what you say. And you're gonna listen to me and you're gonna care about what you did to my wife and like to make them X, Y, and Z. You stayed in a position of power and control and gave them a choice, which was huge.
That there are men, ironically you brought this up, there are men that like to be the Captain Save-Em.
We like to say Captain Save-A-Ho. It's okay.
Well, that is probably where that stemmed from. matter of fact, that's 100% where that stemmed from. But they need or they long for a woman to dote over them. Well, that gets rectified when you dote on yourself. In conjunction with a couple things I did before I got married, I made a list of everything I wanted in a woman. I didn't have a bench of women. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. I knew what I wanted. So the moment I met a woman who I may have been physically attracted to, if out of the seven things she had four, I'm out. I'm not interested. As my dad says, pretty only lasts so long. And another thing I did was I did not have sex with my wife until we got married. That showed integrity. And out from my wife's perspective to me, she didn't like it, but she respected it. And I don't care about love, but respect and integrity. Oh yeah. Those are two huge things for me. So she respected that. And then when I was dating her, some guys do this thing where they date for 3 years, then propose. And that gives a guy 5 years. If I propose, my time starts all over. So now you're in this relationship for 7 years and the woman doesn't know where she's going. A woman never wants to not know. So within the first 90 days, I proposed to her. And then a year later, we got married. I've never had an issue making decisions. I've also never had an issue with falling in love. Because I start with loving Dom Fawcett. I don't need you to come on vacation with me, but it'd be nice if you did, right? I advised what my standards were within the first week. This way, if you don't like me, I need you not to like me within the first 4 or 5 days, not 3 months later when you feel like you're stuck. And the last thing I did within the first 2 weeks was I have a dark past. I shared everything with her. And at the end of the conversation, she said, oh, that's it. I thought it would be worse than that. But she also has a crazy past. So we just work together. So being very upfront, being intentional, being direct, and not being afraid, you mentioned this earlier, of being rejected. If you don't like me because of who I am, I might need to change that, but I'm not changing it for you. So which means I'm not going to change it now.
Love that. Something else you said, or something else that I noticed was that you didn't get uncomfortable with her being upset. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, my wife is mad and now I'm scared. It wasn't like you were trying to make her feel better because you were uncomfortable. So can you speak to how her emotions, you mentioned how she had a Latina reaction, like how her emotions played into your response and why it's different, what you did and how you responded is different than maybe a man who is trying to placate a woman to get her to calm down because it makes him uncomfortable that she's upset with him.
It's ironic, not ironic, the fact that you thought about that. I hadn't thought about that. If my wife gets upset, that's a her problem. If a woman gets, like you get upset, that's a you problem. That has nothing to do with me because I know I didn't do anything. And if I ever do anything, I address it then. I don't do it and then, oh, well, she didn't notice. Or like, I wasn't intimidated by my wife. I'm not intimidated by any woman, any man. She's just a human. She has emotions. And sometimes our emotions might get the best of us, or our emotions cause us to react a certain way. And there's nothing wrong with that. So when she called me and, did you get my text? I didn't do anything. I'm a man of honor, so I don't have a reason. to be upset. Like, no, I didn't. And I'm not going to match her upsetness. And I'm not going to take offense to the way that she's talking to me. She's not talking at me. She's talking at a situation. And I just happen to be the person that she would lean on specific to that situation, which in that case means I don't need to 100% rectify it. I did, but I don't need to. We could have worked together, but she works an hour away from the dealership. So I'll get it handled. Again, less is best. I don't need to explain. Men need to understand that they don't always need to ask questions. Oh, babe, I'm sorry you're going through this. I ain't sorry. I ain't do it. What do you think we should do? What are you going to do? Nah, bro, she called you because she wants you to do something about it. So you do something about it. And if she wants you to confront a man who's drunk and just all over the place and just not wrapped too tight and you're at the bar, you walk away from that. That is not the time to Captain Save him. That is the time to be intelligent in your response and walk away. Because I've seen guys punch the guy, knock a guy out. He hits his head on the ground and he's dead. Now you're doing 5 to 10 for manslaughter, right? So, or assault. But use your words. A lot of men don't know how to use their words. I don't have to curse. Just slow down my talk. Use a little base that I have. Ask questions that are close-ended. And be polite.
And it sounds like you used your body language as well and your mindset. They felt you when you walked into the room.
Yes. If I was wearing shorts, I would have gone home and changed. But because I wasn't wearing shorts and Vans and a tank top, I was wearing jeans, my gator boots, and my belt to match, and a tucked in shirt with a flannel over top of it. I knew there was a certain look. If I was riding another one of my sport bikes, I would have gone home and picked up my truck or picked up my Harley. But in this instance, I happen to have ride my Harley to work. And like a lot of this relates to branding, right? People are moved by certain ways people look. So it is body language. When I walk in, I have a good gait when I walk. And I make noise, like my heels hit the ground when I walk, right? That's how you walk in boots. As my son would say, that's how men walk. So when I walked in, I didn't rush in. I didn't swing the door open. Calm, cool. I didn't smile. And I leaned in and I wasn't loud because I didn't want the guy that was basically the gatekeeper to making this thing all work out. I did not want him to feel embarrassed. I still wanted him to feel like he was in charge, even though I was in charge. But I wanted him to feel that he was. So I was really quiet. I was calm, not passive aggressive. A lot of men do the passive aggressive thing. Well, it's not what I would have done. Well, you don't work here. So that's not even an option for you. And if it doesn't need to be said, don't say it. You've never learned anything that's come out of your mouth. Again, it goes back to less is best. Great question, by the way.
Thank you. How did you manage eye contact? Was it dead on? Was it sort of, did you stand to the side? Curious about that.
I've had to work on my eye contact. Over the years, not work on it to make it, work on it not to make it. I'm a very intent listener, and my wife would always like poke me to the sides and she might touch my shoulder, which that means you're too intense. Like I listen and I lean forward and I'm taking information in. So I'm glad you brought that question up. I didn't stand directly in front. I don't stand like this anyway. I usually stand off to the side and I stood to his side, kind of canted my body. This just comes from fighting stances and being a cop, reactionary gaps, all that jazz. But I knew I was probably going to touch his shoulder. And I didn't want to walk to him like, you know, the guy from Terminator, the cop from Terminator. I wanted to just kind of take one step forward or two. It was more of the way I would talk to somebody if we were at a bar, right? We might be face to face, but I'm leaning on the counter. And fellas, when you're talking to somebody, you don't put your hands in your pocket and you don't stand like this. This says you have something to prove, which we all know you can't prove it. And then hands in your pocket is just, what if Theseus hit the oscillating rotor and you got to move real fast? Hands in the pocket's not a good place to be. this show's uncomfortable. So you just stand with your hands above your waist. And I'm very comfortable standing like this. It's natural for me. If it's not natural for you guys, just try it. Practice it until it is. So as he walked out, I saw his eyes look. And as far as eye contact goes, I maintained eye contact in this conversation because I needed him to understand how serious I was. But I also, in the middle of the conversation, I smiled. I said, thank you. You know, sir, I really appreciate however you're going to rectify this. I appreciate that. Thank you. And when I use my hands, it's I appreciate that. Whatever that is, this is the gift area. You're going to put something here, but that's up to you. Again, I'm glad you brought that. Like, these are solid questions. These are things, guys, we don't typically think about during a podcast. Bro, why didn't you knock them out? One, I'm not going to catch a case for a car. But the eye contact stayed the entire time. But it was more bright than frowned, if you will.
Something that people may not be able to pick up on if they're just listening via audio is that when you said, don't do this, what you were doing is you crossed your arms. So don't cross your arms or put your hands in your pocket. And then when you also, I mean, this is going to be on YouTube. So if anyone wants to actually go physically see or visually see what you were doing. And NLP, they talk about how 55% of communication is actually body language and only 7% is the actual words, which is why I'm asking you to break it down for people. How are you thinking about yourself in the situation? And that's going to come across in how you carry yourself. I love what you said about pivoting. I'm curious how you became the man that in a moment's notice, you know, you changed what you were doing, you pivoted, you got on your Harley, and you showed up with that sort of that energy, that mindset, and you were just ready to manage the situation and sway it in your favor without insulting anyone. So what was that journey like for you?
I'll speak dude language. When a guy walks in a room, we all, and there's other guys in the room, we size all the guys up. Could I beat him up? Yes. Could I beat him up? Yes. Could I beat him up? Maybe. It'd be a longer fight. Could I beat him? Oh, maybe not. I don't know. Right? These are things, I can't speak for all guys, but I know the guys that I know, this is what we do when we walk in a room. The journey to this was, I grew up in a rough environment as a kid. I'm a firstborn. The rule in the household established by my mom was, if anybody disrespects your siblings, if you don't knock them out, I'm gonna knock you out, right? So I'd rather get knocked. I'd rather fight somebody in the street and risk me getting knocked out. Because if I go home, like, I can't swing back at my mom no matter what she does to me. So that was established at a very early age, to be a protector. And as most firstborns are protectors. Then I ended up in the military. All right. That kind of matches the protector. And you learn some things, how to walk. I was already confident up to this point. I just had a natural stutter. And then I became a cop. There's something that happens when intel tells you there's two people in the house and you'll serve a warrant, but you kick in the door and there's four people in the house. As they say now, the math ain't mathin'. But you don't have the luxury, like, life's not it's not a video game. You don't have the luxury of pressing pause. You don't have the luxury of saying, all right, everybody, my apologies. I was expecting two members, but there's four. I'll be right back with more people. No, you in a millisecond, size up who's who, knock out who you need to knock out. And then you typically want to show, like animals do in the wild, yourself larger. Birds do this very well. Larger than you actually are. And without getting into details, I've done that so many times, never got killed. Obviously, I'm here. So I realized in the corporate space, as long as you show up like you are, like you got a pair, the world will typically leave you alone. And again, I'm not a big dude. I weigh 220 and I'm 5, as I was telling you earlier, 5'10 and 3/4. Outside of cowboy boots. Put me in some cowboy boots like I'm wearing now, about 6 feet tall. So I'm not big, but I'm quiet. So the journey to becoming an individual who engages command presence, I have Think React Lead. If you can't see, if you're only listening to this, Think React Lead is the name of my company, but on the wall behind me is Think React Lead. And that's think as an executive, react like a soldier, and lead in every single thing that you do. I'm not naturally an emotional person, so it's rare that I respond or react emotionally. And the reason I'm not, I wasn't naturally an emotional person because I didn't like engaging my emotions because I don't like, even to this day, my feelings getting hurt, right? So as I've engaged having the PTSD and going through therapy and doing the EMDR and the IBT, which is interpersonal therapy, and like I'm all about therapy now, I'm able to sleep 6 to 8 hours a night. So I have a healthier stance on my emotional state, my emotional state of mind, my mental health. But there's a thing that happens when a man goes into a situation where emotions can be heightened. Be the one that removes the emotions out of the room, right? How do we remove emotions out of the room? There's no need to curse. There's no need to raise your voice. There's no need to point your fingers. There's no need to make threats. Most men make threats they can't cash out on. So don't make threats. I'm not going to tell somebody, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to knock you out. No, I'm just going to do it. There's no point in me forecasting or broadcasting what I'm going to do in the next 5 minutes. No, when that 5 minute time frame is up, I'll just do it. I don't need to tell you what I'm going to do. That ruins the element of surprise. And then look at who are the people that we like respect on any of the movies, right? You got Jason Statham, pretty calm. The Rock, pretty calm. James Bond, pretty calm. And I'm not talking like Marvel comics. I don't watch that stuff and I don't play video games, but I'm talking like men that you say, you know what? If I just worked out a little bit, I could be like that. If I walked into a room and I knew and I have the ability to fight, I've done Krav Maga, I've done jiu-jitsu, did kickboxing for years. Most of my friends are fighters. So there's this rough house element that I think men need to have that they don't have. And then as you and I were talking offline, my personal life's mantra is, if it can't kill you, it ain't worth doing. I race motorcycles with my wife. Like my wife races as well. We track. Just got into skydiving. I scuba dive. I have a huge Jeep that I off-road. It's only for off-roading. I don't drive it as my daily, right? So I do dude things. I do man things. And then don't make apologies for how you show up. Be respectful, but don't apologize for how you show up. Like things are very simple. Open the car door for your spouse or for your mate. Open the grocery door or whatever door, open it. And I told my wife this a while back because she had some issues with that and we had to rectify those. But I said, look, if I go to the store and I open the door first, what if a man with a knife is running out? I'd rather be impaled than you be impaled. This is why I'm opening the door. As it relates to cars, whether you're driving or not, it's my responsibility to get you under cover and concealment. What if somebody comes out of the store and starts spraying, right? They start to shoot. Well, as long as I know that you're in the car covered and concealed and I'm standing up, one, I carry so I can engage, or I know that you are covered and concealed and I don't have to concern myself with you to protect you, right? And I'd rather take the bullet. Like these are, and I explained this to her, not like, oh, this is my knight in shining armor, because she can handle her own. But yeah, I explained it to her so she could have an explanation. And men, don't over-explain. Last but not least, the reason I don't argue with my wife, if my wife's upset at something I did, and maybe I'm triggered because I'm human, I'm not a robot, contrary to what people might think, how to stop an argument. I walk up to my wife. I put my hands out. I put her hands in my hands. So now we're holding hands. My face might be 7-8 inches, maybe a foot away from you. And I'll say, I've offended you, or you're upset about something. I want to know what it is. Or I've offended you. And guys, sometimes we've offended our spouse and we don't know what we did, because oftentimes we ain't that bright. We like things that go fast. We like things that go boom. And other than that, some things are just confusing. So you just say, hey, I'm a dude. I got one gig and it's filled. So I really need your help telling me what I did. And let her talk, but hold her hand. You cannot argue with your woman if you're holding her hand. Not squeezing, holding.
I love that. I love that. And so you have the men listening. They struggle with either women not reciprocating their feelings, so just not being into them, and or they're in a relationship but it's very toxic. Like you know, their wife or their partner constantly yells at them and degrades them and breaks them down. And so, So breaking that down for them was really helpful. And also the guys that are struggling to get, you know, reciprocation, there's a lot of what you said here that they may not be exuding naturally. And the women are picking up on the fact that, well, that guy's not in control. He's hiding. He's insecure. He's playing small. And even if he is trying to save me, it's not coming from a place of, I'm curious what you would fill in the blank here. Like, there's a big difference between what you did and being Captain Save-A-Ho. And like, what's the subconscious or even conscious intention that makes the difference?
Great question. Don't do what I did. I'm just going to tell you what I did. I've been married 3 times. One thing I will never tolerate is disrespect. You curse at me in public, I'm done. You put your hands on me, I'm done. And I'm okay with loving somebody just for 3 years and then moving on. Because my happiness is way more important than me being stressed out because I have to deal with the fact that you won't acknowledge me. Like, dudes are like dogs. We like to be rubbed behind the ears. We'll roll over on our back. We like to be rubbed on our tummy. And then we'll go fetch whatever you throw and bring it back to you. Like, we're pretty simple. But if you can't validate us and we spend all the time validating you, I see this a lot with successful men, right? You know, I'm successful. You know, I'm a multimillionaire. I date this gal. She doesn't seem that interested in me. Well, you're probably out of your league. You are probably out of your league. The first date that I had, the first time my wife and I sat down to eat together when we were just, well, not even friends, we were coworkers. We sat down, had seafood. I went to the restroom, came back. She paid the bill. When I was dating prior to that moment, if I took you out on a date and come after the second date, like I'll pay date one, I'll pay date two. If come date three, you don't pay, I'm out. But one thing men don't do, they don't do this. Hey, these are the things that hurt my feelings. If you yell at me, my feelings will get hurt. Just talk to me. If you curse at me, my feelings will get hurt. I'm done talking to you. It should be obvious, but don't put your hands on me. When we're in public, if you have an aunt with me, don't talk at me with your hands because everybody around knows what that is. Hold it. If you can't do that, like we can't be together. No woman is so fine. No, there's no build of any woman where I'm like, I'm going to put up with all of this smoke. No. But this comes only when you are comfortable in your violence. You're comfortable in your silence. Like, I've taken vacations by myself. I've gone to the movies by myself. I've gone to dinner by myself. But men, if you are starting to date a woman and you lack the ability to make her feel like she's the only one in the world, then you're going to get all the smoke. Like, you're going to get all the heat. You're going to get all the drama. At the end of the day, I don't care how tough a woman is, how crazy she might be. If you make her feel special first, she'll make you feel special next. But she has to know that she's the only one. How does she know? You tell her. Simple. You're the only one. How does she know she's the only one? You don't turn your phone upside down when you're on a date. You leave it up or you just leave it out. You just leave it in your pocket. Right? You explain to her. Some women need explanations. Hey, where are you going? I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to my buddy's house. Introduce her to your friends. My wife's so cool that I have a lot of riding buddies, that my friends, Dom, is Sophia coming? But I also treat her like a queen. I don't do things for my boys that I'm not going to do for my wife. They all know my wife comes first. And stop trying to get your wife to do every hobby that you have. It just so happens my wife and I race motorcycles, but she doesn't do the off-roading stuff that I do. She doesn't scuba dive. She's never skydive. Like, these are not things that she does. But build trust first. Women want security and not financial security. They want security in a man. They want to feel protected. And I'm not a woman. Ashley, am I wrong? Am I off on some things?
Well, I know a lot of extremely successful men, 7, 8, 9-figure entrepreneurs who, you know, their wife still cheats on them. Their wife still yells at them for not taking the trash out. So clearly money doesn't solve the problem.
No, it does not. If, fellas, the moment your woman yells at you, don't make threats. Just say, when you yell at me, it's disrespectful. And if it hurts your feelings, tell her, it hurts my feelings. Don't say, don't ever yell at me again, because she's not a child. What can we do together so that your response to me changes? Put the ball back in her court. Go to marriage counseling. My wife and I go to marriage counseling. Not that we need it, but the last two times I was married, I went to marriage counseling at the end. It was already over. So now I'd rather go to marriage counseling in the beginning, and our marriage counselor loves us. So Ashley just stated, money doesn't change anything. And many of you have seen the guy who doesn't have abs, who's not even a good looking dude, but he's with the hot chick and respectfully with, like, the chick loves him, like dotes on him. Why? He respects himself first. He's comfortable with who he is, obviously. You see him on the beach. Like, there's no reason he should not have a shirt on. You know he doesn't work out, but he respects her. He respects their marriage, and he treats her like a queen. But I would not err on the side of not working out. Women do like a man who works out, because that's how do you know you can protect your wife if you don't pick up heavy things and put down heavy things?
Totally. One thing I want to highlight before we close here that is just so important, the big difference between what some of the listeners may do for women, because I can hear them saying, well, I do all those things. I work out, you know, I protect, I open the car doors for her. I do this, I do that, right? And they don't understand why they're not getting the response or reaction that you're describing. And that's because, like I said, intention matters. And what I really love about what you said is I'm comfortable with my violence. I'm comfortable with my silence. And when you're in that space, you're not needy. You're not doing it because you need validation. You're not doing it because you need to get a response from her so you feel good. You're not doing it because you're insecure. You're not doing it because you're trying to prove something. There's something very different. It lands differently when it's coming from overflow, because your cup is already full, versus not filling up your own cup and trying to get her to fill your cup up by doing all these things for her.
Mm-hmm.
Lands totally differently.
Men have to watch some of the verbiage that they use. I've never heard a woman say, my husband won't let me get a motorcycle. But I've heard countless number of men, oh, my wife won't let me get a motorcycle. My wife won't let. There's nothing your wife can let you do. So instead of saying, my wife won't let me, you say, motorcycle is just not something I want at this time in my life. But if you do want one, then go get one. If your wife's going to leave you because you got a motorcycle, she needs to leave. You can kick rocks, because your joy and happiness is better than that. I've met probably 7 or 8 women whose uncle's brother's dad died in a motorcycle accident. They take that and, well, I don't want my boyfriend, my husband can't get a motorcycle accident because Uncle Larry died. He ain't Uncle Larry. And if he dies, he's going to die doing what he loves. If there's anything in your life, outside of drugs and extramarital activities, anything normal in your life that you are saying right now, my wife won't let me do, get it out of your conversation and go do it. My wife won't let me go on this boys trip. Go. The house is still going to be there when you get back. And your wife's got to make a decision. Should I stay or should I go? And if she's going to leave because you bought a motorcycle, now, if it's not a financial, if it's not good for the collective as it relates to your financial goals, I get it. But if you want the motorcycle, go get it. If you want the airplane, go get it. If you want the RV, go get it. There's nothing in your life that your wife can say, my husband, or I won't let him. And the other thing is, women, some of you have kids. Some of you have all boys. I hear this often. You have two children, two boy kids. And then what you do is you lump your husband into that group. Oh, my three boys. Fellas, if your wife does that, or the lady you're with does that, nip that in the bud, because you're not a boy. You're not her boy. She has two kids, maybe by you, maybe not, that are boys. Those are boys. You're a man. Don't let her lump you into that conversation. That is not how that works. And be okay with stating what you're not going to do. I don't fold clothes in my house. I hated it because I was, as a firstborn, is what I always did. But I stated that in the beginning of my relationship. I cook because I enjoy cooking. I don't do dishes. Right, there's certain things I don't do. In our household, we call them woman duties and man duties. If it's outside, it's man duties. If it's inside, we either hire somebody to do it or my wife does it. But I established this what I call 80s style of being a man and 80s style of being a woman in the very beginning. And my wife's a very strong woman, but she also knows how to take off those leadership hats when she comes into the household. I don't make her do it, but I've encouraged it because I respect myself too much as a man to have less placed on my life.
Your self-respect creates automatic boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
She can feel that. I've heard you say several actionable items, you know, when it comes to how does someone get comfortable with their violence and their silence. You said, take yourself out on dates, you know, go do that thing, go skydive, go get on the motorcycle, what have you. Is there anything you would add to a man, especially towards being comfortable with your violence, an actionable item that someone can do or take to get more comfortable with his violence, especially in 2023 when it's so taboo?
I think every man has violence in them. You may not have, it may not have come out of you because you worked at a desk all of your life. You go to college, you didn't really play sports, but go buy the gun. Go do something that men do. Go hunt, right? Maybe you don't like guns. Totally fine. Owning a gun doesn't make you a man. Go for a run when it's hot. It's 102 degrees today. Typically, at the end of the day, I'll go for a run. If it's cold, go for a run. Stop doing all of the things that you see guys do on social media. I know, I just cold plunge. Okay, and what's next? You still act foo-foo, right? Be okay with being the man that you're meant to be. Don't be the man that I am. Don't be the man that, you know, that maybe Ashley is attracted to. Don't be the man that, don't try to emulate somebody you see on television. Bro, if you're playing video games, stop. No woman respects a man that plays video games. Your wife or your woman might say it's okay, but no woman says, I want a man that plays video games. I've never seen that in dating profiles. I've never seen that in conversations I've had. Put the video games aside. The other thing is, if you say you're going to do something, do it. And when I say that, there's a lot of guys, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to start this business. And then 3 months later, it's down. I'm going to start this other business. 3 months later, it's down. 2 months later, it's down. Every time you do that, you're letting your spouse or the woman that you're with know that you don't complete nothing.
I think the video games are sort of a pseudo. They're trying to get comfortable with their violence through that. It's an outlet for the violence. It's an outlet for the dopamine. And what I hear you saying is like, no, actually go out and get it. Like, go do the things instead mm-hmm. of like, you're tricking your brain to think that you're doing the things. You're getting the hit. Boom. It's a shortcut.
Nailed it. You like shooting people in video games? Go get a deer tag. Go get an elk tag. Go get a bow and arrow. Go hunt or go to the firing range. Good. I like the perspective that you bring to this conversation because you're bringing up things that I, as a dude, like I'm not going to think about. So one, thank you very much. And you're a great interviewer, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. You're a great speaker. Obviously, that's what you do. Speaking of, where can people find you? You know, if someone wanted to hire you, what would they hire you for? Like, what do you want to say to anyone listening as far as how they can interact with you in the future?
All right. Again, my name is Dom Fawcett. You can find me on Instagram at Dom Fawcett. You shoot me a text, 602-481-0650. Specific to coaching, I've toned that down a lot because I have a business and I have 27 employees and I'm doing well for myself. And but the people that I coach is typically leadership confidence, command presence, to engage command presence. I usually like all the branding stuff. Now for what? That's pennies on the dollar for what I do now. But if you want to be a better man, yeah, I can coach you there. All of my clients that I've got thus far, they all do crazy stuff. One of my guys is like a base jumper. The other guy is like a free diver. And it's like, it's a percentage of the things that I do, except they just do it way, way better. But if you just want to have a conversation, just reach out to me in my DM on Instagram and I reply to everything. But you mentioned violence as we wrap up. If you're saying to yourself, but I'm not really that violent, it's fine. Everybody's not put on this earth to be a warrior. But if you're a man, you're put on this earth to be a man. And you just have to get dialed in what that looks like for you and your comfortability in life.
Love that. It's not a problem to be a threat. You want to be a threat. The question is, who are you a threat to and why are you a threat? So you want to be a good kind of threat. You want to be a threat to the bad guys.
Right. I like how you voice that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here. What was the phone number one more time? Because it broke up just a little bit and I want to make sure everybody catches it.
Let's use my radio voice. That's 602-481-0650. That's 602-481-0650. Don't call me, text me.
Thanks, Dom.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to this episode of A Podcast for Nice Guys. For more Nice Guy tips, follow Ashley at Nice Guy Reform School on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. See you next time on A Podcast for Nice Guys.